We're going to look at a few different scriptures tonight. And so if you have your Bible handy, we'll not stand as we read like we normally do, but we will flip to a few different scriptures. And so have your fingers ready, okay? Because, you know, that's what we say, turn here and hold your finger there, then turn here and hold your finger there. So we'll just go with as many fingers as we got tonight, okay? So Revelation chapter 9, find your place at Revelation chapter 9, and we will read a verse there. When you have found your place at Revelation 9, hold your finger there and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And when you have found your place there, hold that finger there. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then we will also read a verse out of 1 Corinthians 10. Revelation 9, 1 Timothy 4, 2 Corinthians 6, and 1 Corinthians 10. Everybody found your place? You found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, in 1 Corinthians 10, if you would, look with me at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we will begin reading in verse number 20. The Bible says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to," what's that word? Devils. "And not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll start reading in verse number 14. So in 1 Corinthians 10, as we just read, he's letting us know that there's a clear distinction between the things of God and the things of the devils. Right. And we cannot partake in the things of God and also partake in the things of devils. Right. In 2 Corinthians 6, look in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Right. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" That word Belial means the devil. "And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now turn over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. So in 1 Corinthians 10, he gives the clear distinction between the things of God and the things of devils. He says we cannot partake in the things of God and the things of devils. 2 Corinthians 6, we just read, he says and commands God's people to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He says, you know, he asks all those questions. How can righteousness be with unrighteousness? How can you mix the two? He asks those questions because you can't. You can't mix righteousness and unrighteousness, and you can't have communion between light and darkness and all those things. But then in 1 Timothy 4, in verse number 1, look what he says. Paul, writing to Timothy here, says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of" who? Devils. So in the last times, there's going to be a departing not from faith, but from the faith. And there is a difference in faith and the faith. America's got more faith tonight than she's ever had in one thing or another. The churches are the sizes of football stadiums, and there's more faith in Wall Street, and more faith in the dollar bill, more faith in our military, more faith in our president, more faith in a lot of things than, you know, probably we've ever had. There's even a lot of religious faith in America, probably more religious faith than there's ever been, but they're departing from the faith, okay? And so in 1 Timothy 4, he lets us know in the last days that these folks are going to be departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Revelation 9, verse 20. You've got your finger there. If you'll flip over there very quickly, we'll read this verse. The Bible says in Revelation 9, 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." So God sends all these plagues on man and pours out his wrath on man during the tribulation period. And even after all the plagues, men will still not repent and stop worshiping devils. And so we've seen the Bible mention devils, the doctrines of devils. Certainly we all know that devils are real. Devils do walk about, and they're here among us, and they're working the lives of people. I can remember Brother Percy Ray preached a message years ago on demons infested America. And he talked about how demons had migrated to America through the years, and how the longer we've been here, the more people have been turned over to those doctrines of devils, like what we just read. But tonight, given the night, given the day that it is, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, "The Fingerprints of Satan, Christians and Halloween." The fingerprints of Satan, Christians and Halloween. Because what I want you to see tonight, and what I want to try to expose, is how you can see the fingerprints of the devil, the fingerprints of Satan on everything that goes on a night like tonight. And of course, it expands far beyond just Halloween, but I want to try to expose some things tonight, maybe that will be a help to us and be a blessing to us. Help me pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for the time of prayer that we've already had and for letting us be here. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to preach your word to your people. And Lord, no doubt it's been probably a long week for some of us, been a long day. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to set aside the cares and distractions of the world for a few moments. Lord, that we can focus on the things of God. And Lord, I pray that you would take these things and Lord, hide them deep in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, that's why we're here tonight, Lord, to learn the word of God and to hear it preached. Lord, that we might not sin against you, that we can see the fingerprints of Satan on these things, that we can avoid them and stay away from them. And Lord, that we might not wind up in sin, wind up, Lord, deep out into the things and the ways of the world. Help us tonight, Lord, to be right in the center of your perfect will. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to be an empty vessel to say just what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. And may your perfect will be done in each and every one of our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I wanted to say tonight, just starting off before we get too deep into it, that I really will just scratch the surface tonight on a lot of these things. And I also want to mention that some of these things I have read and done some studying in through the years, and not just a whole lot of it. And I want to encourage you that are here tonight and anyone that would listen to this message on recording down the road, because there's been several that have asked for recordings, to not get curious about these things and go seeking out these things and searching out these things. I try to be very careful when we get into these things, because people's curiosity can be piqued by it and go on and get into a lot of very, very dark, sinful things and very devious things. And so it can be a very touchy thing and thing I try to be very careful about. I remember when I was in Bible college, I had a good friend down there in Louisiana, Brother Harold Gaddy, and I can remember him telling me about a man that he had in his church one time who got into this thing of devil hunting and got into this thing of spirit hunting and, you know, trying to cast these devils out of these people and hunt these devils and all this stuff. And he was telling me a story Of course, he had told this man, he said, you know, you don't need to get off into this stuff. He told him just what I just told you. You don't need to get off into that stuff. You need to be very careful. But obviously, he didn't listen. And he said, you know, several days or weeks down the road, this guy got out of church. And he can remember going and visiting this fella. And he had this wooden box under his carport. And he told him that that's where he was keeping. He had these devils in this box. And he was keeping them in this box. And so I'm just saying that you just got to be careful, because there's a lot of evil and there's a lot of spiritism that surrounds this thing of Halloween. Okay? Halloween has got its origins in a Roman Catholic festival known as All Saints Day. It is celebrated on November 1st. And October 31st, obviously, is the eve of All Saints Day. And so that's where it comes from. It is derived even further back than that from a pagan festival that comes from the Druids out of Ireland and England and Scotland. And who the Druids are, those are satanic priests that practiced animal and human sacrifices over in Ireland and Scotland and England and all through there. And what they did was they had a special day of feasts and festivities, and they had a big festival, and they called this festival, the name of it is Samhain. Okay, it's spelt Samhain, but it is pronounced Samhain. It's spelt Samhain, but it is pronounced Samhain. And Samhain is the Lord of the Dead. Okay, they worshiped on this day, on October 31st, the origins of Halloween, they worshiped the Lord of the Dead. Okay, October 31st, or Halloween as we know it now, is also known as Satan's birthday. And to Satanists, witches, and covens, they all have special services on Halloween. Okay, matter of fact, there's 8 different festivals that are observed by witches and covens and occult leaders. Of the eight, Halloween, October 31st, is the most important one to all of them. It is a extremely holy and spiritual day to occult leaders, witches, those that practice Wicca and things like that. It is an extremely important day. It is the most important day of the year to all of them. November 31st is known as the Hallowed Day. So October 31st, the day before, is known as the Hallowed Eve. The day before, the night before, Hallowed Eve or Halloween. Okay, so it is the evening before All Saints Day. Now, the reason that you have this pagan, these pagan roots, you've got these Druids and these Satanists and these occult leaders that have performed all these animal sacrifices and human sacrifices, even to worship the devil himself through the years. The reason you have them, and then you have the Catholic Church, and it's all kind of joined together, is because the Roman Catholics took Samhain, a pagan satanic feast, and Christianized it, or attempted to Christianize it. Just like what they've done with a lot of things. See, the Catholic Church is a conglomeration. At this point, it is a conglomeration of many, many different types of religion. And it's a conglomeration of all sorts of paganism and demonism. And they've taken bits and pieces of all of it and accepted it. And as Rome took over countries and nations, instead of breaking them from paganism, they just accepted and adopted it into Catholicism. And so that's why Halloween now is celebrated as the night before All Saints Day. And even today, Roman Catholics celebrate All Saints Day. Oh, yeah. Halloween is known as a night of mischief, and it's known as a night of evil, and it's celebrated to get all those things out before All Saints Day. And even today, Roman Catholics celebrate All Saints Day. Now, I don't want to get too off topic, and I want to try to stay on this line of thought here, because the thing is, there's a lot of preaching here, and there's a lot of things you could expose, and you could really get off into a lot of stuff. But so I don't want to get too off base here, but I do want to make it a point to mention that the great whore in the book of Revelation, that the Bible talks about that will come on, will persecute the saints and all those things. The great whore of the book of Revelation, for years and years and years, good men of God, men that are a whole lot smarter than me, have all believed that it is the Roman Catholic Church. I believe that as well. And so, because whenever you look at the Catholic Church as an organization is a great whore. It has whored itself out to all different kinds of religions and denominations and beliefs. And instead of winning those souls, they just adopted their beliefs to bring them in. And so really, that's the only reason that Catholicism has grown to be such a large organization and a large religion, is not because they've won so many people to Catholicism. It's because they've whored out the organization and whored out the religion to accept all different types of beliefs and things like that. One preacher I know believes that the great whore will be a big coming together of the Catholic Church and Islam, because you've got the two biggest, fastest growing religions in the world today, and somehow or another he believes they'll come together in the book of Revelation. The Bible talks specifically about those who were beheaded for the cause of Christ. Well, that's the number one, probably the number one most popular way that Islam and Muslims choose to kill Christians and choose to persecute people is by taking their heads off. And so, you know, that's what he believes, and that's fine. I don't know if it's so or not, but I just want to point out that this coming together of all these religions and this relativism and this ecumenicalism, where everything's all right, you're okay, I'm okay, we all hold hands together and we'll all go to heaven together, that is going to play a big role in the end times and the coming on the scene of the Antichrist, okay? I want you to understand that and tuck that away, because we'll get back into some of it, okay? But that is how it came to be that that Halloween was celebrated the night before All Saints Day, okay? Matter of fact, Catholicism has even introduced Halloween and praying for the dead from their interpretations of the book of the Maccabees and endeavoring to absorb pagan practices. I mean, you ever think about all these weird beliefs that Catholics have, praying for the dead and this purgatory and all that stuff? They did that as a means of bringing in and accepting pagans and pagan belief, because that's what Halloween is. It is a celebration of the dead and a celebration of death. Okay? Now, getting into Wicca and witchcraft. Witches meet in what's known as covens or covens. The official number of a coven is 13. 13 witches meeting in a coven. That is why the number 13 is known as an unlucky number. Okay? Because they meet in a number of 13 of them is the official number. Now, when they meet, they typically will sacrifice cats and dogs. I'm talking about stuff that goes on today and stuff that goes on in Amory, Mississippi, by the way. Stuff that goes on in Monroe County. All right? I'm not talking about some far-off fairy tale land. I'm talking about around you. You don't realize it, but this stuff is going on. They will meet. They will have secluded places out in the woods and things like that. They will do their rituals. They'll sacrifice animals, cats, and dogs. But Halloween specifically is a high holy day to them, so they try to perform a human sacrifice on Halloween. Tonight, there will be human sacrifices to the devil. On Halloween night, tonight, this will be taking place. Okay? All of these things were initiated and started and has its roots back with the Druids, those satanic priests back in Ireland and Scotland and England. Samhain, that Lord of the Dead, if you used to see a picture of Samhain, it's what we call the Grim Reaper. It's that dark, shadowy figure that looms over graveyards and things like that. It's that dark, shadowy, mysterious figure. That is what Samhain is, the Lord of the Dead. So let me ask you a question. Why in the world would a Christian want to celebrate the Lord of the Dead and death? Why would a Christian want to do that? Why would a church want to get together as an organization and do that? Because you find all this death in Halloween. Just drive through your neighborhood. You ain't got to go far before you see tombstones and you see skeletons and you see pumpkins carved into, you know, scary looking objects. And the pumpkin carving is a whole different thing that I could get into and talk about, but I'm not going to because of time tonight. But you'll see the scary carved pumpkins. You'll see skeletons. You'll see ravens. You'll see ghouls and goblins and ghosts. You'll see demons and devils. You'll see all these things right in people's yards where they've decorated their house. You'll see giant spiders and all these things, and it's celebrating death. Yeah. It is a celebration and a worship of the Lord of the dead. Now, the Druids, these satanic priests, are still operating in England today. They're still operating. They're still going on. Matter of fact, there's a picture that we've all seen of a place over in England known as Stonehenge, England. And you've probably seen the pictures. I wanted to have some pictures for you tonight, but I just didn't get them. But anyways, Stonehenge, England, that's over there at the top of that hill where they've got those giant stones that are erected in different patterns. And they've got two stones standing up and one standing across the top of it. And it's all in a circle. And it's these ancient ruins. And it's known as the Stonehenge. Well, what it is, it's got its root with these Druids. And here, matter of fact, they still meet there from what I understand. They will do their sacrifices. And this place, Stonehenge, England, is known as the seat of Satan. It is known as the seat of sacrifices and all satanic operations worldwide among the occult. Okay? That stuff is still going on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to celebrate Satan's birthday. I don't want to celebrate all this death. I don't want to celebrate all this mysticism and spiritism. I'm not going to be out there celebrating this stuff. Now, someone may say, we don't do it for that. We just do it just to have fun, and we just do it for the kids and for the family. That is exactly what the devil wants them to think. That is exactly what the God of this world wants people to say. And I'll tell you why here in a little bit. A few of the symbols of Druids and satanic culture would be the goat's head. You maybe have seen that. It's a goat's head inside of a star. There's lightning bolts. Matter of fact, if I was going to have a picture of this too, but if you look on the cover of a lot of the Harry Potter books, on his forehead is a lightning bolt. It is a jagged lightning bolt. Okay? If you look closely, those jagged lightning bolts are actually an S. Okay? It's an S. Standing for Satan. Matter of fact, if you look at a lot of the rock and roll music back through the 80s and even through the 90s and even today, a lot of them you'll see these lightning bolts. It'll be two lightning bolts side by side. Two S's. It is Satanism and satanic symbols. It is symbolatry. Okay? AC/DC, a big rock band back through the 80s. Between AC and DC, two lightning bolts. Lady Gaga, real popular back in the early 2000s, pretty popular now, came out with an album called Christmas Tree. The Christmas Tree, it is a Christmas tree made up of satanic lightning bolts all the way down. Okay? So whenever you see this stuff, you won't be able to unsee it, is what I'm saying. It'll help you to be able to pick up on this stuff because what it is desensitizing our population and our society and our people. It is desensitizing people to these things, okay? And so that's what it is, getting in front of them all the time and making them okay with it. Matter of fact, the whole Harry Potter thing, why do you think the most of the Harry Potter books, why do you think they weren't released until after midnight? Because in witchcraft and Wicca, midnight is a very high holy hour. It's a very sacred hour to Satanists and witches. That woman that wrote those books claimed that she knew nothing about witchcraft and knew nothing about Satanism. She was just kind of making all this stuff up. But I guarantee you she knows a lot about all of it, and she's up to her eyeballs in it. Yeah. Most of them are. Most of Hollywood is. Okay? And so you see these lightning bolts. Matter of fact, you know, you've got the wizards, which is just a male witch. And of course, you know, we see in our day how the wizards and the fantasy and all that stuff has gotten so popular among people. Again, it's that thing of desensitizing people to these things, making them okay with it, making it acceptable. Back in the old days with the fables and the stories, the witches were always the bad guys. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the witch was always the bad one. The Wizard of Oz, the witch was always the bad one. And I'm not necessarily promoting or condoning those things, but I'm just saying, back in the day, the witches were the weird people and the bad people. Nowadays, the witches are the good guys and the normal people are the bad guys. What it is an inversion of right and making making things that are sinful right and making things that are right wrong. Okay? And so, you've got the lightning bolts. You've got 666 or FFF. You know that that's the number of the mark of the beast is 666 or FFF, very much used in Satanism. You've got the three circles. You'll see three oblong circles in the shape of a pyramid, and there'll be three circles that make up that pyramid. If you look on the cover of a New King James Bible, it has got the three circles of the mark of Satan on it. Now, most people don't know what they're looking at, and they don't know anything about it. They don't realize that. But I'm just telling you, if you look on the cover of a New King James Bible, you will see a triangle made up of three circles. I'm just saying, it's going to be very easy for the Antichrist to come on the scene and take these perverted versions of Scripture and show people that he is God. He's going to say, I'm God, I'm Jesus, worship me. They're going to look in these perverted versions that use terminology like New Order and New World Order and have satanic symbolism on them. And they've already been desensitized to it down through the years because their churches have involved them in witchcraft and Halloween down through the years. And they've participated in trunk or treat and all that stuff and tried to accommodate the world and bring the world into the church and blend the two together. And so they're already desensitized to it, and so they're going to take it, and they're going to look at it, and they're going to say, well, hey, he is who he says he is. Because they didn't have a preacher down through the years that loved them enough to point out the symbolism in all of it and the demonism in all of it. They didn't have a preacher that loved them enough to expose those things to them. And so when it comes time that this Antichrist comes on the scene, they don't know no different.
That's right. You're right.
They don't know no different. Swallow it, hook, line, and sinker, because strong delusion's going to come. Amen? And so he's going to use that. So there's the 666, the FFF, the three circles. By the way, the F is the sixth letter of the alphabet. That's why they use FFF. There's the pentagram, which is an upside-down star with a circle around it. Anytime you see an upside-down star with a circle around it, it is satanic symbolism. Matter of fact, on the signs going in and out of Amory, there's a symbol for some club in Amory. It is a pentagram. Civitan Club. That's right. It's a pentagram. You look at it, it's a pentagram. It's an upside down star with a circle around it. There's the salute of Satan, which is this. It can be like this, it can be like this, or it can be like this. What it is the salute of Satan. A lot of people don't know any different. They don't know what it means, and so they just do it being cool.
That's right.
But that's what the devil wants. That's what the world wants. They want them to know no different.
Right.
They want them to not know the difference. So when you do this, I was actually told one time that what this salute of the devil actually is. Matter of fact, if you look on the cover of Anton LaVey's book that he wrote, it's a picture of him, of his face, and he's doing this. This salute is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost bowing to Satan and the Antichrist. That's what I was told. So they'll do it like that. They'll tuck the thumb under the fingers, or they'll do it like this. A lot of the surfers and stuff, they do this, hang loose. Without realizing it is a satanic symbol. Okay? There's the inverted cross. Also the cross of Satan. Also the peace sign. From what I understand, it's got satanic symbolism in it. It is an upside down cross with the arms broken, representing rebellion. Now, a lot of people don't think any different. They'll wear t-shirts with peace signs on them, and they'll wear earrings or jewelry with peace signs on them. It is satanic symbolism is what it is. Now, the Druids were early priests of Satan and Satanism in Ireland, Scotland, and England. And the Druids said that there are 9 signs of satanic interest in young people. When they are pursuing young people, they look for these 9 signs. And these are 9 signs that parents can look for in their children. They look at their posters and look for satanic symbols on their posters. Look at their notebooks. See if there are satanic symbols on or in their notebooks. They look for ritualistic items like knives, bones, silver chalices, silver pentagrams, things like that. Number four, they look to see if they are called by a different name, because occultists and witches, they go by a different name among the occult. They have a totally different name. Number five, they look to see, or you can look to see, if there's occult videos, literature, music, satanic Bibles, which is called the Book of the Law. You can look for books by Anton LaVey or a man by the name of Aleister Crowley, and I'll tell you a little bit about more them in a few minutes. Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley. By the way, Aleister Crowley is pictured on the cover of one of the Beatles albums. I believe it's the Yellow Submarine album, whichever one that was. There's a big host of people on there. If you look, you can spot Aleister Crowley is in the background of those people. And he is one of the fathers of Satanism in the world. They were very big into the occult, the Beatles were. You can look for the Book of Sabbaths is an occulted book. Number seven, cuts, marks, tattoos, brands on the body, all signs of witchcraft, demonism, symbolism. And I know that's become a fad in the world today and in our country today. But that's what the devil wants. The fingerprints of Satan. People, see, this is the thing. That's why I titled this message, is because whenever a crime is committed, you don't see the fingerprints when you first get there, but when you start investigating and they start dusting for fingerprints, they start seeing the fingerprints there. And that's how a lot of these things are. People say, well, I do it, but I'm not worshiping Satan. That's not on my mind when I'm doing it. I take my kids out, and we go door to door and go trick-or-treating. And our church, we do a big Halloween party, or we do a big, scare house in the church and all this stuff. And I've seen all that stuff go on in churches, and we do all these things, but we're not worshiping the devil in it. But the fingerprints of Satan are all over it. And that's what he wants them to think. That's what he wants them to think. Okay? So this cutting, marking the body, tattooing the body, branding the body, it all has its roots in paganism and demonism. Number eight, obsession with fantasy-like games, such as Dungeons & Dragons, which was real big back in the 80s and 90s. Matter of fact, Dungeons & Dragons was a precursor to the Harry Potter movies and the Harry Potter books. In our day, there's tons of video games that all revolve around fantasy. There's a video game out that's real popular right now called Demon Souls. There's the second part to that video game. It's an Xbox One game and PS4 game called Dark Souls. Okay. There's a video game out right now for PC. It's very popular, called Diablo. Okay. There's video games that's been real popular down to the years called Doom. There are several Doom games. Okay? They are absolutely immersed in demonism and Satanism and death and darkness and all these things that we're talking about. Now, I'm not telling you to go look up all this stuff and look at it, but I am telling you it is out there. Okay? I'm telling you it's out there. You can, number nine, the ninth sign is evidence of animal torture or sacrifice. Okay? These are the nine signs that show interest in Satanism in young people. Now, tonight in Halloween, there will be a lot of bonfires that will take place. That's a big part of Halloween. Bonfires are the word bonfire is actually derived from the word bone fire, which has its history in the Druids and Satanists, where they would sacrifice human beings and do human sacrifice. They called them bone fires. And depending, whenever they would take their victims, sacrifice these people into these big fires that they made, as those bones burned, and as that body burned, depending on how the bones would burn and wisp and rise, and depending on how the body would writhe around in pain and things like that, depending on how they would move, they would predict the future in these things. Okay? People say, well, we're not worshiping the devil when we celebrate Halloween. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. And the fingerprints of Satan are all over it. Okay? The fingerprints of Satan are all over it. There's five reasons why there is harm in Halloween. Number one, many are exposed to witchcraft and occultic practices. Things like seances, Ouija boards, things like that. We talked about this game here not long ago that was kind of getting popular in high school or in schools in America, Charlie, which has its origins down in Mexico. Spirit-type game, asking spirits to answer questions for you and predict the future. And so what Halloween does, what a night like tonight does, will take a lot of people that are unknowing and either don't know or don't care, don't have a preacher that cares enough about them to tell them, will take their families out and their kids out and expose them to this witchcraft and expose them to occult practices. Number two, it is an acceptable opportunity for witches and Satanists to promote pagan beliefs. Notice, an acceptable opportunity. No other night of the year, no other day of the year would it be okay for a lot of the things to go on that will go on tonight. In our community, in people's families, things like that. I mean, you think about all the blood and all the gore and all the death and all the stuff we've talked about tonight. You think about all those things that these little children, parents, will expose them to. And it is acceptable. Yeah. It's acceptable to them. It's all right. You think about all the churches tonight that have turned out church, and instead of preaching the Word of God and worshiping the Lord, they are out worshiping the Lord of the dead tonight because it is acceptable. It's acceptable. Okay? And so it's an acceptable opportunity to promote these things, and the churches, Christians are involved in it because it is acceptable to people. Okay? Number three. Reasons that there's harm in Halloween. Children and adults are conditioned to accept occult and pagan practices and are desensitized to the violence, death, and wickedness associated with it. Jeffrey Dahmer was a gruesome serial killer back in the 70s and 80s. When they finally caught him, he was in Milwaukee. They stormed his apartment, and he had a freezer full of body parts. He had a frozen head in his refrigerator freezer. Some of his victims, he chopped them up and ate them. And Jeffrey Dahmer was very involved in the occult. Ted Bundy, pretty big name serial killer in American history, very involved and steeped in the occult. Now, do you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about whenever I talk about the occult? Because there's a difference in cults and the occult. Y'all understand what, y'all know what the difference is in the occult? The occult is Satanism. Okay? Satanism or Satanists are known as the occult. So that's number three. They're desensitized to all these things, and that's the big problem with it. It desensitizes people. People say, well, we're not worshiping the devil. You're getting desensitized to these things. Okay? Number four. Fear can have detrimental effects on people. Okay? Fear can have detrimental effects on people. There are people that have problems in their adulthood because of very dramatic and traumatic fears that they were exposed to as children. And fears can have very big problems on people. Matter of fact, the fact that Halloween is getting worse is a good point of that, and it shows you that. Halloween is getting worse. Matter of fact, I'm ashamed to admit it, but whenever I was, 13, 14 years old, we went Halloweening. We went trick-or-treating. Matter of fact, I can remember one time we were at some friends' houses here in Amory. We were at some friends' house. I was probably 13, 14 years old, and it was Halloween night. Now, we weren't having a Halloween party. We were just having a get-together, and it happened to be Halloween. My mother never let us get involved in it. Praise the Lord for it. So she kept us away from all this stuff. And so we had a get-together. It just happened to be Halloween night, and there was youngins out trick-or-treating and all this stuff. Well, me and my buddy who was there, who was also 13, 14 years old, we weren't dressed up as anything, but we decided we wanted to get us some candy, and so we just went door-to-door and went trick-or-treating to get us some candy. That's what we did. And, Halloween, back through the years, even whenever I was younger, it was, a night of mischief like it is tonight. Like it is today, but it's very, very different today than it was from the little petty pranks and things that we did back whenever we were kids. It's very different. Matter of fact, even the way that they dress up now is very different. In the past probably 3 or 4 years, all of the costumes for girls has gone from being, a nurse or something like that to now it's a sexy nurse. Instead of dressing up as a teacher, now they're dressing up as a naughty teacher or a sexy teacher. You know, now instead of dressing up as, you know, one thing, you know, you just fill in the blank. Now it's that thing with the word naughty or sexy in front of it. And so it's just an excuse and it's just a reason to indulge in sexual immorality and expose themselves and be involved in all of these types of sexual, immoral, sinful things. And it is getting worse as we go. The horror and the gore and the violence of it all, it's all getting worse the further we go. It's not a sign of us turning to God. It's a sign of us getting away from God. Amen? And so, fear can have detrimental effects on people. Number five, it provides opportunity to experiment with pagan and occultic activity to see if it works, and it's an excuse to do evil. Now, they say that Halloween has the highest rate of satanic ritual crimes of any other time of the year, the night of Halloween. There will be crimes committed tonight, people arrested tonight, because they commit crime in the name of satanic and Wicca ritual. Matter of fact, graveyard desecration is a very big crime that's committed on Halloween night because they use human bones in a lot of their sacrifices and rituals and things that they do. The FBI reported, I read an FBI report that they say between October 1st and October 31st, there is more animal theft. Cats and dogs and things like that. More animal theft than any other time of the year. The reason is because they use them on October 31st for these rituals that they do. I read a story about a pastor in Wisconsin who was out hunting. And in the woods, he ran across the remains of a bull that had been sacrificed, and the carcass was laying inside a circle of rocks in the middle of the woods. Telltale sign that there had been some type of satanic or witchcraft ritual going on there. Okay? Which is the same as the Stonehenge over in England. It's a circle of rocks. Okay? So Halloween is the devil's celebration, is what it is. It's a celebration of devils. Now, where the occult, I want to give you a few things on where the occult leads its followers. It leads its followers to idolatry. Without getting too deep into them, it leads its followers to immorality. Immorality is steeped, and the occult is immersed in immorality, all type of sexual sin and things like that. And I'll not get too deep into it, but all these, the rituals and all the induction ceremonies and things like that, I mean, there's all types of sexual immorality and all type of wickedness in it. Leads them to immorality, leads to injury. Things like branding and cutting and piercing. These people that are cutting themselves and things like that, the devil's in all that stuff. Leads to degradation and torture. Now, I'm telling you all this because, again, I want you to see the fingerprints of Satan in all of it. But a few years ago, I believe it was the most popular novel in America was an erotic sex novel known as 50 Shades of Grey. And in 50 Shades of Grey, from what I understand, it deals with perverted sexual acts, dealing with degradation, dealing with torture, dealing with bondage, things like that. And this was the number one novel in America that year. So again, people say, well, we're not doing all this stuff, and we're not thinking about serving the devil. We're not thinking about worshiping the devil. And that's not even on their mind. So they're not even thinking about it. So we're not worshiping the devil. We're just doing it for fun. That is exactly what the devil wants them to think. Because if you go to exposing it and dusting for prints, you'll see the fingerprints of Satan over all of it. Okay? People have gotten so desensitized to this stuff that our society as a whole will accept and love and hail and worship practically a perverted sex novel like 50 Shades of Grey. You think about all the fraternity initiations and things like that go on in universities in America. All that stuff. Hey, all of it steeped in this stuff. So they lead to idolatry, immorality, injury, degradation, and torture. Leads to insanity. There's a warping and twisting of the mind. You know where it all depends? It depends on where it all begins. It begins with dabbling. Did you know that Satanists and witches and occult leaders, did you know that they actually have a name for those people that partake in nights like Halloween and use Ouija boards for fun and get involved in this stuff and play in this stuff? Not really, you know, doing it to worship the devil, but they just do it just for fun. They have a name for those people, and it's dabblers. They call them dabblers. They are people that partake in it. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't know what they're messing with. But can you believe they actually have a word? They have a name for those people. They're called dabblers. Whenever Ouija boards got real popular back in the early 90s and all the parents were going around buying their kids Ouija boards for Christmas, the name for those people, the occult called them dabblers. In other words, they were prospects. They were people that they could possibly get, you know, brought in. Okay? So insanity and then suicide. Suicide. One of the places that it leads. Many suicides take place with people that have dabbled and fooled around in occultic practices. And then last of all, homicide. What happens is these spirits get in these people's minds and they start hearing these spirits and they start telling them to kill themselves. Or they start telling them to kill somebody. I'm trying to think of Charles Manson in that group he was running. Those people said they had voices in their head. When Charles told them to go kill these people, they heard the voices in their head telling them to do it too. So suicide, homicide. I'm going to cut some of this off and just try to be brief, because we really could get really deep down in this stuff, but just a few common witchcraft beliefs really quick. Most witches are animistic, or there's animism. That is the belief that all objects, rocks, trees, plants, mountains, animals, nature, all that stuff, that's the belief that they're all alive and have a soul. Who's that sound like to you today? Sounds like these fur baby parents to me. Sounds like these people that care more about dogs than they do their kids to me. Amen? Panpsychistic. That is the doctrine or belief that everything material, however small, has an element of individual consciousness. There's monism. That is the doctrine that only one supreme being exists. That is like the New Age movement. They call their God the One. Yeah. That is, there's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then a devil. There's just one. They're all one. Okay, monism. There's pantheism. That is that everything is God. A lot of them are polytheistic. That is that they believe in many gods. A lot of them are existentialists. That is that existentialism emphasizes the existence of the individual person as a free and responsible agent determining their own development through the acts of the will. In other words, you're your own God. A lot of them are relativists or believe in relativism, which you can see is all through our society today. That is that there's no absolutes. Right. What's right to you may not be right to me, but that's okay. It's all relative. Okay? A lot of them believe in reincarnation. These are some of the common witchcraft beliefs. Now you hear these things, and right now you, or I am, and you may be too, you may be thinking, man, I hear a lot about a lot of that stuff in our society. You want to know why? Because people have dabbled in it and been desensitized to it, and they don't know any different. All the time, the devil has been conditioning them, and the world has been conditioning them, and they don't realize that the fingerprints of Satan have been there the whole time. Okay? Now, I'll give you this, and I'm done. There are three ways that they attempt to access demonic wisdom. They try to do it through divinations. That is fortune-telling. That's the practice of seeking knowledge for the future or the unknown by supernatural means. Using Ouija boards, crystal balls, mirrors, Charlie, things like that. Using divinations. They try to do it through sorcery. That is magic. Now, those that are involved in Wicca, witchcraft is actually known as Wicca, W-I-C-C-A, Wicca. When they talk about magic, if you see it, they spell it with a K at the end. M-A-G-I-C-K. Magic. Okay? What magic is, the power of apparently influencing the course of events by using mysterious or supernatural forces. Demonism is what it is. And then the last one is spiritivism or necromancy. That's the practice of communicating with the dead, especially in order to predict the future. Now, you hear a lot of this stuff and you think a lot of this stuff. You know, what's all this mean? What's it matter? I mean, this is way on down the road for somebody that gets way off into it. I'm trying to let you know where this all ends. And where it's going to end for a lot of these folks that have got their kids out in it tonight. And where it's going to end for a lot of church members whose churches have turned out the church and are even bringing folks into the church parking lot, the trunk or treat in the church parking lot and all those things tonight. Now, I'm all for having a harvest festival or having a fall festival and things like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Matter of fact, it's just like the rainbow. Now, the Sodomites have tried to take over the rainbow and steal that promise. Yep. You know, and use that as their symbol. Yep. But see, God sent the rainbow as a promise that He would never destroy the earth with water again. And so when I see the rainbow, I don't think about Sodomites. I think about the promise of God. And by the way, I think about it every single time. Right. Matter of fact, I usually say it. I say, that's the promise of God right there. Whenever we have a fall festival or a harvest festival or something like that, I always think about over there in Genesis where he talked about how till the end there will always be seed time and harvest and the changing of seasons and things like that. That's why this is one of my favorite times of the year, because you see the seasons change and the leaves turn and all those things. And I believe, man, they just speak of the glory of God in my mind. And so those are good things, and praise the Lord for them. But as far as getting on board with Halloween and having Halloween parties and having all this trick-or-treating and having all these scare parties and all this stuff, it is something that Christians and churches should have no part in. Amen. Should have no part in. And just the fact that most of them are out there involved in it tonight is a sign of where we are spiritually. Because being out there and being involved with it and having the mentality that, well, we're just having a good time and we're just doing it for the fun, is exactly what the devil wants them to think. And his fingerprints are on it the whole time, and he's using it. Matter of fact, Halloween is the most celebrated holiday in our public schools today. Now, they've kicked God and the Bible out, but they'll celebrate Halloween. Danger of it is that it has influenced our society without people even realizing what is happening. It's right in front of their face, and people really don't realize what's happening. Now, I've give you my, not my opinion, I've give you what the Bible says about it. Not getting in with these doctrines of devils and all these things, let me give you Anton LaVey's opinion on it. Anton LaVey is the author of the Satanic Bible, known as the Book of the Law, and he is the founder of the Church of Satan in America. And this is what he said, and I quote. He said, "I am glad that Christian parents let their children worship the devil at least one night out of the year." That is what the founder of the Church of Satan and the author of the Satanic Bible said. That ought to tell you enough right there. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I want to thank you for helping us with the message. Lord, I pray that you would take these things and hide them deep in our heart, that we might not sin against you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be ever on guard, and Lord, watching for the wiles of the devil, and Lord, walking circumspectly. Lord, I want to thank you for loving me and saving me. Thank you, Lord, that I can enjoy, Lord, being an old-time Christian. Thank you, I can enjoy, Lord, the old-time way. Thank you, Lord, that I can enjoy standing for God, Lord, when it seems like the whole rest of the world is going the way of the world. Lord, I pray that you continue to help us to stand here at Unity. Help us to have, Lord, to stand for you, to hold the line for God, having done all to stand in these last days. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.